2 months ago, I read an article about the statue, and I decided that I wanted to see it one more time. That article made me remember so many things about the statue. It made me remember the first time I saw it when I was 10 years old in 1876. It was a Thursday. I remember that because Thursdays are the half days of school in Paris. I had come home eager for the half day off, but I had also brought with me a very poor mathematics examination. When my papa came home for the midday meal and saw that examination, he said, "Pierre, how many times have I told you, if you make careless mathematical mistakes like this, you will never be hired to work where I do? Why, if one of the men where I work did this, the statue would have a crooked nose, or it might even fall over." And I said, "Papa, I don't understand how statues are made and why mathematics is important. Could you show me?" "Pierre, that's a very good idea. Why don't you come back with me after luncheon today, and I will show you how a statue is made." And that's how I came to see the statue for the first time. "Papa, you never told me the statue was so big and so beautiful. She's as tall as a two-story building." "You're right, Pierre. The statue is 36 feet tall. It's a plaster statue." "But Papa, why is there some wood sticking out over there?" "Well, Pierre, the statue isn't finished yet, and when you make a plaster statue, you have to make a wooden framework to put the plaster on, and that part of the statue isn't finished yet." "Oh, Papa, look over there. There are two smaller copies of the beautiful statue." "No, Pierre, you have it wrong. Those statues were the original statues. This is a copy of them." "Oh, Papa, I don't understand that at all." "Let me tell you, Pierre. You see, the sculptor, Monsieur Bartholdi, first made that 4-foot clay statue. And then his workmen, from that statue, made the 9-foot statue. And then from the 9-foot statue, we're making this 36-foot statue." "But Papa, how do you make one statue from another?" "Pierre, do you see the ropes around those two statues, the 9-foot one and the 36-foot one?" "Oh, yes, Papa, I see there are 4 ropes sort of around the corners of the smaller statue and 4 similar ropes along the taller one. Those are called plumb lines, Pierre. There are heavy weights on the bottom of the ropes, and gravity keeps them hanging straight. And we make measurements from one rope to the original statue, and then we use that measurement to decide what the measurement should be from its rope to the bigger statue. For example, Pierre, let's say we measure that the waist of the statue is 3 feet from the floor. That's 3 feet up the 9-foot statue. How high should the waist be of the 36-foot statue?" "Let me see, Papa. If the waist of the 9-foot statue is 3 feet up, the 36-foot statue is 4 times higher than the 9-foot statue, so its waist should be 4 times more. 4 times 3 is 12. The waist of the 36-foot statue should be 12 feet from the floor." "That's exactly right, Pierre. But what if you had made a mistake and decided 3 times 4 was 16? The waist of the bigger statue would look ridiculous. You would ruin the statue by making a mistake like that." "Papa, I understand. Mathematics is important. Oh, can I come back next week and see the statue when it's all done?" "Yes, Pierre, if you bring home a good mathematics examination." "I will, Papa." And the next week I did. Well, it wasn't perfect. There were some new things I didn't quite understand, but there were no more careless mistakes. Papa let me come. But when I saw the statue, I said, "Papa, they've ruined it. They've put little dots all over it." "Oh, Pierre, this isn't the final statue. The final statue is going to be 4.5 times taller than this." "Papa, a plaster statue that big?" "No, no, no, Pierre. The final statue will be made out of 300 pieces of copper." "Why so many pieces of copper, Papa?" "For one reason, Pierre. This statue is going to be shipped to another country, and it needs to be made in pieces so it can be shipped." "Oh, well, how are they going to make the copper statue?" "You see, Pierre, we will make plaster pieces the exact size of the final statue. And then we will build wooden molds that fit over those plaster pieces. You could think of them as wooden gloves. Then we will take off each wooden mold and put a thin sheet of copper inside, and then hammer the copper to exactly fit that wooden mold. That's the way the copper will have the exact same shape as the plaster. Oh, Papa, I'd like to see that happen. Could I come back? Yes, Pierre, if, I know, Papa, if I do well on my mathematics examinations. And I did. When they finished making all the wooden molds for the first piece they were going to make of the statue, they had 50 workmen hammering on the copper. It made such a noise, we had to go outside for me to ask my questions. Papa, I never asked before, but how are the copper pieces going to be held together? Are they going to be welded together? Oh, no, Pierre. You see, this statue is going to be in a windy harbor where it's cold in the winter and warm in the summer. The pieces have to be kept separate so that they can expand and contract as the weather changes. Well, then how will they be held together, Papa? You see, Monsieur Bartholdi, Pierre, has hired a bridge builder to build sort of a bridge tower that the pieces will be attached to. You see, the inner part of the structure will have four angle irons. Those are pieces of iron that are shaped like the letter L, and they will rise over 100 feet in the air. They will be attached to the pedestal the statue is standing on by bolts that are 5.5 inches in diameter and 65 feet long. Very, very long bolts. Those angle irons will be securely attached to that pedestal. But the tops could move around, so there will be horizontal and diagonal pieces of steel between those four huge pieces of steel to hold them together. It will look like a bridge tower. Then an outer framework will be built out from the inner one, and the copper pieces will be attached to the outer framework. Oh, Papa, that sounds wonderful. Pierre, quick, look, over there. There's the bridge builder, Monsieur Eiffel. Week after week, I kept coming back. By the end of the summer, when I was 10 years old, the arm with the torch was completed, and it was shipped to the United States in pieces. My papa told me first it was at the Philadelphia Centennial Exposition, and then it was moved to New York City, to a park where it was displayed for 4 years. You see, while the French people were donating money to build the statue, the American people had to donate money to build the pedestal. And that's why the arm with a torch had been shipped to the United States to help raise the money for the pedestal. When I was 12 years old, the head was finished, 20 feet tall, and it was dragged across Paris to the other side of the Seine to be put on exhibit there. In fact, it was located where Eiffel's Tower was subsequently built. I was one of the people who stood in line to climb up the stairs into the crown of the head and look out the windows there. When I was 14, I started working at the foundry. As an apprentice, all I got to do pretty much was clean up and fetch tools and things. But since the workmen had seen me there for 4 years with my papa, they sometimes let me hammer on the easy pieces, so I started making the statue. When I was 17, we started erecting the statue in the courtyard of the building. Monsieur Bartholdi still needed to raise some more money to finish the statue, to pay our salaries. So he invited all the reporters of Paris to come and have luncheon inside the statue. We built temporary flooring at the knees of the statue, and we brought in tables. Imagine 50 people eating luncheon inside of a statue. I think the months that followed were my favorite months of working on the statue, because as Papa and I would leave our home, we would look to see how close we had to get till we could see the beginnings of the statue visible above the four-story buildings around her. And towards the end, we just walked outside of our door, and there she was, gleaming in the sunlight, beautiful shining copper. I was 18 when she was finished. Well, she looked finished, but Monsieur Bartholdi and Monsieur Eiffel kept us busy a whole year making adjustments on the inside and the outside of the statue. At 19, We had to dismantle her and put her into over 200 crates that filled 17 railway cars. The pieces were shipped to the coast and then taken on a ship to New York. That was 70 years ago. When I read that newspaper article 2 months ago, I decided I wanted to see her one more time. So with the help of my grandson, Jean-Pierre, he and I took this ship. It is now just after dawn. We are entering New York Harbor. We have been out here since before dawn, waiting to see the statue. Others are joining us, and oh, there she is. Oh, she's small from where we are, but I know she is going to be big when we get up close to her. She's pale blue-green now, not the bright, shining copper she used to be. But oh, where she is located on her pedestal. She is no longer hemmed in by the buildings. No, she is out in the open for all to see. At last, I am seeing the statue again. Liberty enlightening the world. Oh, I forgot. That was the name Monsieur Bartholdi had for the statue, but now she is simply known by the name Statue of Liberty. Thank you.